Hello and welcome back to another Muscle and the Hustle podcast. Happy New Year. This is the first one me and Tony back after a Christmas break. Hope you've enjoyed the last few podcasts. It's been a while.
Yeah, 3-4 weeks.
3-4 weeks, and we had Caroline, and then we had our Christmas Day one, and then the New Year's Day one with Daniel, which is going down very well. All of them is going down very well, actually.
Yeah, well, I'd say so. They're all really good podcasts. I enjoyed the guests. It was probably a nice mix for people to not just hear us for once.
Yeah, and we do need to get Caroline back because it was just getting very, very juicy about the relationship stuff. So Caroline will be back. I think we did talk about it at the end of the podcast that we have to continue the conversation on. And a few people have actually said that the one with Daniel's their favorite podcast.
I'd say so. That was quite a motivating one as well. I think that was one of my favorites.
That was the first time I've been in person with Daniel. And his fucking energy is scary. It is infectious.
Yeah, it's really, really good, isn't it? He works a lot in it too. Like.
Yeah, it's infectious. It's a lot like your own, but it's hard to explain until you're in the man's presence. Like it's hard to explain. If you watch them online, you would like, oh, like, you know, you'd be looking almost thinking, oh, he's acting as that. And then when like we were with him that like you've been with him loads, but we were with like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it's just energy is just there's something very pure about it. It's very hard to explain, and I've tried to explain it many times to different people, and I can't. He's a real person, and. Genuinely, his energy is just. If you can ever have a conversation with him, go and do it. Just go and do it. Stop him in the street for a conversation if you see him. So, how was your Christmas? How was the big cruise?
Cruise was good. Yeah, cruise was very, very different. Sort of a different type of holiday. I don't know if he's never been on it, but it was really, really nice, Joe. It's something that's completely different and completely out there. So, for me, yeah, really, really nice. Just a good sense of. For me, actual downtime for once, you know, I sort of switched off. I wasn't uploading too much. It was just uploading a little bit. And yeah. for me, that's more so what it's about. More so just spending time with the family. You know, that's the most important thing during that time period.
Could you go back and do cruises again?
I think it's a family holiday. I don't know if it's even a couple's holiday. I definitely think it's not I think it's definitely more a family holiday. It's definitely like a young person's family holiday too, in my opinion. Like, I know it sounds really basic, but it's just like a really expensive taxi that drives you around, feeds you, or boats you around and feeds you. You know, it is very, very good. Like, don't get me wrong.
I didn't enjoy it,
but fuck, there's someone in an all-inclusive cruise. It's fucking mayhem. It's just pure food. Like, it's absolutely monotonous. It's mental. Like, I'm actually dead now. I'm home because I fucking literally had all around me.
Was it hard to eat clean?
No, there's just so much food. Like, it's just mental. No, there's fucking everything, mate. You'd get anything and everything you want, you know, and it's a really good one. Like, don't get me wrong, we've done Haiti, the Bahamas, Coco Cay is like part of their island, and we've done Jamaica. It was beautiful, don't get me wrong. It was really, really nice. But, like, I'm the wrong person to go off. Like, I think everywhere's nice. I never complain about anything. I'm the worst person to ask because there's other people who were like, oh, this cruise wasn't as good as this and that and this. But for me, I'm just one of them people. I'm very easily pleased. Like, fuck me, you bring me in a holiday up north or down south. I don't even need to leave the country and I'm happy. So,
yeah. Was there a highlight? Was there like a place that you would look at and go, I might go back like to Jamaica or Haiti or...
I don't know. I think I'm the sort of person, like, I would like to go back. Like, if I was going to go around there again, I probably could go back to Jamaica or the Bahamas, no sweat. But it doesn't make, to me, it doesn't really make any odds. It's all, they're all similar enough wee spots. You know, they're not many miles apart. It's like, for me, it's like going to Mexico or, like, Guatemala. Like, they're not a million miles. Yes, you'll get a different vibe, but, like, they're close. You're going to get similar things overlapping.
I've been to the Caribbean before. There's not much difference in the vibe between island to island. No, it's good. It definitely looked like a good holiday. And you know, it's a nice time actually to get away. The more I looked at it, I was like, you know what, fucking Christmas, nice time to get away. Like, it's just nice.
I'll not be doing Christmas at home anymore. It's not for me. I'll either be doing it in Spain or a sunnier country or somewhere away for sure.
Yeah. I was looking at that. You know what? I've said that a lot myself over 10 years or more, and I still always find myself, except for when I was in Australia, being at home for Christmas. But it is, there's something very appealing about, I don't know, just going away somewhere else and doing Christmas somewhere else. But it would look brilliant. It's something I want to try a cruise. But then I don't know, I don't like other people being in charge of my time. You know, when they go, you can, you know, go and do your excursion now, your, you know, your day trip or whatever. I kind of, I don't know, it's maybe that could be something that could be a stumbling point for me. No, very good, yeah. Very good. You miss nothing in Ireland, Tony, when you're in. No snow.
No, that. No, I never do. right, New Year's resolutions.
I haven't set them yet.
You not set yours?
No, I haven't set them yet for the simple reason I was that busy coming up the New Year, never set them, and thought to myself, I'm going to actually put in effort in the first week and actually, you know, right. You've always got the normal ones, you'll try to be a bit healthy or whatever, but I want to actually sit down and make really decisive, thoughtful ones. You know, because at the end of the day, a week, 51 weeks is good enough, like. But yeah, I haven't really. No, it's still, I know in my head what I want to do. I want to do less work. It's going to be a big thing this year. I'm not going to stretch myself as much because last year was a bit of a fucking joke. And that is one of the main things. Work smarter, not harder. But also doing a lot more, you know, just making better decisions in general when it comes to health and stuff. But yeah, probably going to still be the same asshole, to be honest. There's no going to be new year, new me. It's just I'm still going to be the same person. I'm just going to probably be a bit smarter about it. But yeah, what about yourself? Is there any?
I have a whack, but the main one that I'm focusing on, that's the number one most important, is I'm limiting myself to. I just have my app limits on all day now, and I only turn them off for 4 minute intervals. So if I need social media or anything, I get a 4 minute pop at a time, and I'm trying to keep that under about 12 to 15 pops a day. I know that sounds immense, but like probably sounds like loads, but like, so it's pretty much keeping my screen time under an hour at all times, all year round. That's my main goal.
An hour a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
which does that people don't realize that how little that actually is.
Does that include uploads? No.
Yeah, that's pretty much like yeah, like that probably counts for uploads too, because I'll on things. Sometimes I schedule them in my Insta.
Yeah. Do you find, is there a reason for the 4 minutes? Tony's offline. That's peculiar. I wonder, is there a reason for the 4 minutes? Tony's screen has frozen at the moment, but he may come back on. May as well talk about a wee bit my goals. So I want to be a wee bit healthier. That's one of the main things I want to do. And to be honest, it's well needed. So, you know, before Christmas, we talked about it, started doing kind of high roxy, kind of CrossFit-y, high intensive interval sort of style training. Back at that, shout out to Total Workout Noma, back doing that, and yeah, just going to keep it up. Want to actually see how can I regain kind of my fitness from my football days. I was never known to be like the most fit footballer, like, to be honest. I was a bit of a fucking lazy prick, like, but I was good for getting goals. But I want to see if I can kind of like really push on my actual physical fitness. Strength as well, not just training for aesthetics and to look better, but I suppose that comes part and parcel. But yeah, just that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm enjoying training again. I fucking hated training towards the end of last year. Like, probably there's a lot of people listening to this podcast the same. They just fucking really, you know, sometimes they just hate training. I'd be like that. I fall in out of love. Sometimes I'm the most dedicated person in the gym, and normally that's followed by a bout of just hating training, and maybe that's I'm burning myself out or I'm doing too much. So that, yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at with that there. Just want to be a bit healthier, you know. Doing, you know, life can be short enough, so I've decided I would just take care of myself a wee bit better, because other things in life, like sleep patterns, never going to be good. Just with the job. So yeah, trying to minimize other things, minimize stresses. As I said, when Tony was on, I'm going to work a lot less. I'm going to do a lot less gigs. I've already cut my gigs dramatically. I've stopped. You've probably noticed throughout the year, there's certain venues I won't be playing in as much and at all. Just decided, no, just not doing it anymore. Which is a shame, because like I love playing every venue I've played in, but there just comes that point in life where you go, you know what, I'm just not doing it as much. I'm not doing it for no reason. I'm just doing it to take care of myself a wee bit more, have a bit more fun, you know, maybe get back out there, do a bit more dating. You never know what Quinzer's gonna do. Tony's still off and I'm just rambling on. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking of working a wee bit less, working smarter. Like, we've talked about it so much in the podcast, it'd be hypocritical not to do it. Just wanna have more fun. I'm gonna be churning out a lot more content this year, guys, as well. You're gonna be massively happy to hear that none of you care about DJing and dance music, probably, but I'm gonna be churning out a lot more content, having a bit of fun with that. Not to grow a following or anything, just to kind of have a bit of fun. Building the studio, forgot about that. Building a studio in Oma, a dance studio, make some music. I've got 9 songs ready to go this year, so I will be releasing a lot of music. But I am also releasing, I was thinking of an album, but albums are fucked, to be honest, guys. Everybody knows albums are fucked, so I'm just going to release 9 songs. And then out of them 9 songs, hopefully somebody enjoys at least one of them. And that's all that kind of matters. Like, I'm not going to be a slave to the algorithm and a slave to the numbers and different stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and just release music. And if people like it, they like it. And if they don't, they don't. I'm at that very point of life now where I don't. I was talking about it with someone yesterday, and they've hit the point too. And I don't know, they're a lot younger than me. Like, people are, and this might be a thing across the board, because I'm actually, the more I think about it now, the more people actually don't give a shit anymore. Like, the things that would have like weirded people out and really annoyed people are just over it, and they're happy. I've noticed people are starting to get a lot happy in themselves now, and what they do and what they offer, so they can just go about life and just get shit happen and get shit done and you know, just be themselves instead of worrying about what other people, you know, what other people think of them or talk about them. I think it was Grainne McCoy. Actually, it was Grainne McCoy. She was like, you know, the fuck it attitude. Just get in front of the camera, and if you want to grow your phone, get in front of the camera and talk and just say fuck it. Just go for it, instead of worrying of people going, oh, look at her in front of the camera, look at him in front of the camera talking. Just fucking go for it, you know. Who cares what other people say, what other people think? So same as music, you know, your favorite song is never going to be mine, unless we're lucky and we're compatible in that regards. But then that's okay, that's what makes music. So for a while I might have had a bit of fear of songs not doing too well, as you pump your heart and soul into it, or, well, at least your heart and soul for a couple of days into a song, and then nobody likes it, and you're just like, oh, well, fuck it. But yeah, I'm kind of at the point now where I'm like, fuck it, I'm just pump. I'm going to pump out all the music, going to pump out loads of content. There is some now, there are some ridiculously big gigs happening this year, which people will be happy, it'll be fun. Couple of different countries, couple of different continents, you know, yourself. It's got a bit of fun. And yeah, it's going to be 2024. I'm going to say, well, I'll go and say it. I'll say it. 2024 is going to be my year. What a load of dung. No, 2024 is going to be a good year. As I said, I'm taking time off now in January. After the passing of my mum, I couldn't really take any time off, to be honest, from funeral to gig. There was one day. just with things and tickets and different things in life. You know, you don't get, even though you're in charge of your own rota, you're in charge of your own diary, there's a lot of people, if I was to pull out of a gig, there's a lot of people not getting paid. There's a lot of people losing extra money from bank fees and different stuff. And I don't like that. And unfortunately, it worked out that there was a lot of stuff booked in coming up to Christmas, a lot of major stuff, a lot of tour stuff that I'm not saying I couldn't get out of it, but it wouldn't have been fair on me to pull out of it and put other people under pressure as a knock-on effect, as a pendulum effect. I think it's a pendulum effect, it would be called. A domino effect, sorry. So yeah, it didn't really take time probably to grieve, would be the word. That whole time, I just threw myself into work, and I did notice now late December that I was starting to, well, my body was breaking down. But I found it very, very hard at times. The gigs were hard, the gigs were tougher. And anybody that knows me knows I don't struggle with gigs. Like, I'm fucking on it. Like, when it comes to gigs, I'm on it. But now there was a few gigs where I did struggle. Didn't really go out at Christmas either. I was out, I had three drinks one night, and I went out for an evening on another night, and that was it. Christmas was tough in work wise, and New Year's Day being my last gig, I knew I needed that to be the last gig for a while. You just know, your brain just, you know, you need it. And when that gig ended, I felt like a massive relief coming off my chest. I just really needed no more gigs, and it was a very, very tough run. Like, it was 2 months from my mother passing to then, and the time I took out wasn't enough, and I knew it wasn't enough, but I knew also that I have that dog in me where I can drop the head and get it done, but I also, I know that's not the right way to do things. And, you know, if someone was to ask me, if it was them in their books, I would say no, 100% not. Definitely don't try to do that, because it was tough, and I'm sure other people would find it just as tough. As I said, I could notice towards late December, probably not even late December time around Christmas, you know, around the 18th, 19th, 20th onwards, I felt my central nervous system was burst, that I needed a break. And here's Tony coming back now. Is that Tony? Tony, we're still recording. We're talking here.
Well,
we're back. Tony, we're still recording. We're still talking. We're having a wee chat.
Jesus Christ, mate. My fucking fuse blew in my house there, and there was World War III in the fucking middle of it. Jesus fucking Christ.
I was wondering why you didn't text. I was just like,
I can't. I have no 3G anymore. I've removed that to see does that help with the screen time. So,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, we're having a wee chat there, just so you can.
So you left me on the New Year's resolution part.
The question I was asking you when it stopped was, is there a reason for the 4 minutes? That's
specific. So it's not too long. It's not too short. It gives me enough time if I have to reply to a DM or something. Do you know what it usually gives me enough time to do? It usually gives me enough time to do a task and then to almost just get scrolling or doing something stupid, and then it's like you're locked, and then you're back in. versus sometimes 2 minutes isn't enough if I'm like sending a couple of messages or I'm trying to do a few things. So it locks everything but WhatsApp. And then I've told the majority of people close to me now, I'm like, I don't have 3G at the moment. So I'm like, if you need me, ring me. Otherwise, you're not getting me if I'm out and about or if I'm in the gym or.
Yeah.
And I find it quite therapeutic. I know a lot of people will be like, oh my God. But like, I just find that's very hard to disconnect from everybody and everything now. And the more and more that I'm trying to get zoned in, manage my energy, build a business, the more I'm managing that creative flow. And it's really important for me anyway, because I just find burnout happens so easy. It's like, I think one of the most toxic things you can do is whenever you wake up in the morning, you grab your phone and you immediately go over a scroll. And I used to be like that, and people don't realize how toxic that is. You know, you're immediately getting inbounded with all these Instagram baddies looking the part. And then as a man, you're scrolling through that. You're starting the day with focusing on women, or you're seeing people with a highlight reel.
Yeah,
it immediately throws your life straight into comparison, or I want this or I want that, rather than waking up and being a more grateful mindset, focusing on you, enjoying a cup of coffee. Like, I'm sure everybody knows this, like whenever you're on your phone and you have a lovely cup of coffee and then you finish the cup of coffee and you're like, I don't really remember drinking that.
Yeah.
Because you've been scrolling and you're everybody is guilty of that, and you haven't enjoyed what's around you and you're not grateful for it. So for me, I'm always thinking like, how do I want to act as a man in the next 10 years? How do I want to be in the next couple of years? And what habits, rituals, routines am I going to form to create me into like a, don't know if I love the word a high value man, because I think that sounds very titty, but I love the word of like, Joe, somebody who is a man of, Joe, standards, a man that's actually a man, not a child. So for me, I'm just trying to create that character a bit more this year. And for me, I think scrolling, and it all leads into time management, energy management, mood. It all links back to that for me. And that's probably the one negative, really bad habit I have. And I don't like whatever people do it, so I don't see why I can do it either. So that's just pretty much the main reason. In the 4 minutes is just, I find that that's usually enough. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a time and place. You know, there's no harm in me doing back-to-back for it if I do. But 9 times out of 10, it's like whenever I'm in the middle of work, I'll pick it up and answer a message. And then before you know it, I've popped in a message 3 other people, and then it locks me in. I'm like, I don't need to be in there, you know. So it's been a game changer for me personally. I feel much, much better mentally now over the last week or so. And I had it where I couldn't get into my phone from 5 a.m. until noon, then 1 p.m., then 2 p.m. And now it's just locked, because I just know it's from 2 p.m. on. It's just fucking about. So it's just me taking ownership for it. And a lot of people will say they don't have time for things. And I know the fucking children mafia will come at me, because the first thing whenever I talk about people not having time is somebody turns around and goes, tell me you don't have kids. Why tell me you don't have kids? And every parent fucking wants to pick a fight with me on my DMs over it. But it's just one of them things where like, I just turn around to everybody that joins me, parent, teacher, coach, business owner, I just go, show me your screen time.
Yeah.
Whenever I don't have time, but show me your screen time. But I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But I'm like, while you're on your phone, you could be doing something else. I'm like, one thing I really noticed, Mickey, too, is, and I don't mean to go on a rant, is if you don't go on your phone, right, and I don't watch Netflix anymore, I've left that. That was a habit I dropped a while back. See, at night, I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
Like, I've completed it. All I do is either work or be like, it's 9 o'clock, like there's fuck all for me to do. I've worked my brains off here. Like there's nothing to do for me. Once my family have dinner, we sit down and watch a bit of tally. I'll sit with them for 5 minutes, have a cup of tea, and then I'm like, right, well, I'm almost ready for bed, because there's fuck all else for me. All I seem to see is people watching fucking tally or scrolling, and I'm just like, well, that's not what I'd rather be up early attacking the day or something. So it sounds a bit mental, and I don't mean to sound, but for me it's like I was listening to that Jay Shetty podcast, and like watching telly with somebody who isn't real intimacy, like if you want conversation, you want crack, like that's different. But not whenever you're just sitting watching, it's never maybe a series or something you're really into together. But
yeah, I can't watch TV with other people. I can't watch TV really with other people unless it's a program that you're watching together. Like,
yes.
I can't just go in and join people in a living room with a TV on, because I'm like this, it's not for, and it sounds a bit selfish in saying it, but what's on TV isn't for me, and I would never put it on, so why am I wasting 45 minutes watching it, you know what I mean? And like, it's not as a, oh well, people go, oh, you're spending quality time with your family, but you're not, because they're watching TV, and like, you don't want to start up a conversation when someone's trying to watch a TV program. You fucking, you know, they're watching the TV show. They want to watch it. You don't. So I be sort of like that, but now I would be a bit of a scroller. Like, I'm a consumer at the minute. But then again, I can be a non-consumer pretty easy. I did notice you were offline a lot, because if, like, as for anybody knows, if I send Tony like a message saying, oh, when are we recording this week, it'll go to one ticket, won't be delivered. So I know he's not got nothing going to his phone, but because I know this happens, I will send them like hours or days ahead of time instead of sending it, you know, expecting a reply within an hour.
Because yeah, I think it drops that expectation too. Like, I think a lot of people, like, I was chatting to a female for once, and you'll be glad to know, okay? And it was like almost the stage of like,
getting worried.
Oh mate, yeah, you would be, and pretty much we're having the crack back and forth. But like, mate, I am slow. Like, I'm slow. But like, if you want to see me, sweet, let's meet, let's sort it. But if you're looking at somebody who's texting you back and forth and ringing you, like, that's just not me. So I remember just being like, look, I'm not spending my life on my phone. Like, it's not real conversation. I know it's different.
You're not looking at pen pal. You're not looking at pen pal.
If you need me, you can ring me anytime and I will be there at the drop of a hat. But if you're looking somebody to keep you company, that is not my job. My job is to be there for you when you need it. It's to be there in general or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But like that sort of like, I don't need that either. And that person doesn't either. But it's one of the things where it's quite interesting because it's like, I know everybody wants to connect and you want to share life together and there's all that carry on over. But I'm also like, you need to make sure that you're not just dulling over things out with just noise for the sake of it. I think as well too, the more you speak, the more you text, the less the weight of the word carries. It's like,
yeah.
For me, that comes into play quite a touch as well. I've never been like that, even in a relationship and stuff. Like, I've been the sort of person who just like, if I'm not seeing you that day and I know I'm not, I'll just maybe check in to see if you're all right. And as long as you're all right, you know, to give me a shout if you need me, that's A1. Because I just think there's nothing worse than that. It's the same with it. Like, it's just an all variables like that. But I think it's quite interesting because you can not waste. I don't think it's all wasted. Like, but I just think that you don't realize how much gaps there is. Like, I've went back to slowly starting to learn Spanish. I'm getting so much more done. I can't believe the amount.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much better I mentally feel. It's like a... do you know what's mental? Do you know what I'd say the most habit I've seen most people jump on that I posted? Yeah. Did you see the 7 habits that I put up on my page?
The carousel?
Post. Yeah, for anyone that didn't see this, I would say somewhere between 500 and 600 men are messaging me every day saying that they have stopped masturbating or trying to, and they're struggling like with porn. It's mainly the watching the porn. See the amount of men that are messing me that are going like, I'm fucking really struggling, or it's been 3 days, I feel so much better. And see, for people listening to this, they like, trust me, like, one, if you are the sort of individual who does watch a lot of porn, try not watching it for a month, and I guarantee your life is just a million times. You just feel better. And then number two, if you are the individual that doesn't watch it or, you know, watches the odd time, still follow that, but you don't realize how common it is and how much people actually struggle with this. Even in relationships and stuff, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Actually, that's a nice caveat under the question that I told Tony there is a question, but I haven't told him what the question is. So we'll just be at it because it's sort of similar. Hey, I've been listening to the podcast for nearly 2 years now, and it's one of my first go-to things on a Monday morning. Thank you. I'll not say your name. I've got a question which I hope you can provide some advice. I generally make poor decisions on emotion, something that I'd love to leave behind in 2024. How do I remove this? For example, I generally turn to masturbation when angry or frustrated. It then messes up my mindset. If you could help, please. So you kind of, you've talked about this before, about like the, you know, the side effects of like, maybe, and not say serial masturbation, but masturbation, you know, maybe.
Your side effects of, you know, ejaculating. So yeah. Like, whenever you think about it, what is your number one goal in life? To procreate. So the minute you ejaculate, you literally, the dopamine spike you get is off the charts. So what I firstly want you to realize, if you're listening to this, is if you're angry or you're bored and you go towards masturbation, it's mainly because you're getting a massive dopamine spike, just as if an addict is bored and goes for drugs or drink or anything like that. There's a trigger, and you need to realize that you have a trigger, now you have a response, just the same way an addict has. So as annoying as that is, it sounds frustrating, but that's why you're getting a massive dopamine spike. For example, I think off coffee you get 100% dopamine spike, off drugs, you get 200 off cold water, and masturbation, you get about 250%. So it's a massive dopamine spike, and then you become very lethargic after. So your decision making is going to be poor. You're also, like, realistically, whenever you come down to your decision making, if you find that you're very emotional, the first step is being self-aware. Now you know that it's actually all, this sounds terrible, it's all your fault if you still make poor decisions, because you know that you're emotional. So then still making the decision while emotional shows that you're just actually being, without sounding cheeky, stupid. You're just not, you're using that like a pawn to scrape off, rather than take responsibility for the fact you're now self-aware. It's like the very first step of anything. Once you're, like, whenever you're not self-aware, it's like the young child being rude to, do you like whenever a child turns around and doesn't say thank you, and the parent goes, Tony, say thank you to the mom.
Yeah.
And then the child goes, oh, thank you. It's like, look, you don't mind, because the child's still learning. The child's not really aware of manners, it's learning. Versus whenever you know you have a destructive habit, or you're shit with something and you're fully aware of it and you don't do anything to fix it, you're not that child, you're a grown ass individual. It's like my mom turned around to me now and telling me to fucking say a thank you to the waiter. No, it should be fucking done. I should be self-aware enough. So for me, it's one of these things where you have to take responsibility for that, and then you have to build in. You might not be able to change your response. You might get emotional, angered very, very fast. But what you, what you can't do is change the trigger. So you might get emotional, anything like that might kick in. So for example, Joe, you can't not get emotional. If you're an emotional individual, that's going to come down to your neuroplasticity. That's going to take a lot of time to unwire. But what you can do is you can change your actual response to the trigger.
Yeah.
So instead of you getting fucking angry and making shite decisions, what you do is you go, right, what can I do to intercut this? And you would go, right, I used to do this all the time. Go to the toilet and just start slowly, no, don't hyperventilate, to do three in, three out, four in, four out, five in, six out. Slow your breathing down. You will never make a worse decision if you can slow your heart rate down, because blood will go back to where it should instead of the muscles, back to the brain. Yeah. And it's one of these things where when we were firefighting, if we ever were going somewhere and I could see somebody sort of having a bit of a meltdown, I'm a very, very relaxed individual, like, no matter what's going on. I think it's because of situations like that, you know. But it's one of them things where for me, just the more I slow down my breathing and the more I make light of a situation, the smoother my decisions are. And even if you make a relatively bad one, you can recover from it far faster because you're able to think on your feet. Versus every nose, like, do you know whenever you're in an argument, and I haven't done this in a long time, but you say something and you're like, oh, that was too much. Or you almost forget to say something.
Yeah.
And that's because you're not thinking logically, you're thinking emotionally, and there are two sides of the brain, and your logical side of the brain can only persuade the emotional. Do you ever see that analogy about the car drivers with the brain? So they talk about the fact that, I don't mean to go on a rant here, talk about the fact that your brain is two sides. So there's the emotional and the logical side, right?
Yeah.
The emotional side's always driving. Always driving. That's who's driving 24/7. There's no, the logical is in the passenger seat with the map. The logical is constantly going, we're going straight here, we're going straight. And depending how self-aware you are, depending how much personal development work you've done, will depend how much the emotional side listens to your directions. Now, if you've done fuck all and you're not self-aware, the emotional side is just going to take you off road. It's going to go left. It's going to go right. It doesn't matter what you think is the right decision. You've done no deep work and you've actually not been self-aware. So you've no control of this. Once you are self-aware, you realistically do have one hand on the wheel to an extent. And it's down to you how you continually improve that through improving your responses, improving how you handle situations, reviewing and reflecting on maybe how you didn't handle a situation well. So say, for example, you got in a very back and forth argument with your partner and you started dragging shit up from the past like a moron.
Yeah,
I think we've all been guilty of that before. You then maybe go and reflect on that. Apologize, and then Joe, you maybe make a rule, like I said before, about like where you don't bring anything but the current argument up. If you're arguing, you don't bring shit up from the past.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the next time you go into something like that, you take a breath, you go to the toilet, you do some deep breaths, or you go, you know, look, I'm just going to take a little bit of space because I'd rather not fight. I want to work through this. Or you change the tone, you don't raise your voice. You learn and improve. The problem is whenever people repeat the same response and then expect all of a sudden something to change, like life is not going to change. You're going to have to change. It's your perception, your tenacity and willpower towards actually working on yourself is going to be key there. And the problem is you can work as much as yourself want, books and all as you want, it's reflecting, reviewing on situations and making sure that you are a man or a woman of substance that can handle that situation. I feel like people crack under pressure with them sort of things. I know that doesn't directly answer it. The little black book of decision making is quite good too. But realize as well,
there's no little black book of decision making. Is that a book?
It's a little book I used to read, but do you know what the funny thing is? I read it about 6 years ago, seven maybe, and I tried to reread it about 3 years ago, and I actually really disliked it the second time. I couldn't read it. I could only get past chapter one. I don't know whether it just didn't relate to me anymore. I find that very interesting. It's only the funniest thing is, too, you always hear the quote, like, you never read the same book twice. That's definitely true, because the first time I got so much from that, and the second time I didn't. And it's the same as that Chris Wells said a great quote the other week, and it was no man ever steps in the same river twice.
Yeah.
For no man is ever the same man, and for no water is ever the same water.
Yeah, he's full of good ones now. That's why I'm I kind of posed that question to Tony, because it's something that I don't really know enough about to answer it at all.
In terms of,
I don't really make emotional decisions ever. If anything, I'm probably very cold. People would joke like very serial killerish, I don't get personal when it comes to business or anything. It doesn't matter if you're a best friend or a non-friend.
Do you think that benefits you in obviously the business and that side of things, but do you think that hinders you in other aspects of your life?
Oh, fuck, yeah. 100%. Brilliant business side of things, I think, because it just means that I'm very fair. I'm unemotional about things, you know, wins and losses. I'm very unemotional. I don't take things personally when people say stuff or whatever. But I think also when it comes to like personal life, it can be, I can be very, you know, I remember thinking it used to be a good thing, and I remember saying about, you know, how you could walk away from something and not like really think about it, give it a second's thought, you can block it out. And I remember thinking that was a good thing in case you were ever like hurt or something, or someone broke up with you or cheated on you or whatever. But then I came to kind of realize years later that that's probably not a good thing at all, because it just means that even though you think you are getting attached to someone or something, you're really never, because in your head you're like, well, I have to be ready to walk away from this, or no, this to leave me and me not to feel anything. Just like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a, just like a transaction. Transactional thing, and I remember thinking that was a great thing, and that was deadly, and I had sussed life. And then I remember talking to it with someone was like, no, because that means that you've never fully opened yourself up to someone.
Yeah, but there'll be pros and cons, but that's something that required a deep bit of work. And
yeah, well, that was all pre-CBT. That was all before them days. And then the more I kind of worked on myself, the more I realized, I was like, fuck. I had almost trained myself back then to be a dead vessel. And very like just not very straight, whatever. But then more work I'd done myself, I was like, right, I can separate the business me to the personal me. Like, there's a guy, like we were just talking about the other day, and like I give him probably 50, 60, 70 dates a year music wise. And he doesn't like me, I don't like him. And we respect each other, we don't like each other. But that doesn't mean he's not fucking one hell of a talented human being. We're just very different people, and we don't really like each other. But that won't stop me from putting him into a gig, because it's not personal, it's business. He's very good at what he does. He's probably one of the better people in the country at what he does. And I've we've no personal dislikes for each other. We just don't gel. We don't mash. We just don't. We're not friends. We probably never will be friends. And that's okay. And I respect what he does. He respects what I do. And he's fucking very good at what he does. I'll never have a drink with a fella, but I'll give him fucking a lot of money a year, 75 times whatever he gets paid. But other people in my business would go, no, well, I'm not giving him gigs because I don't like him. Nah, that's not how things work. If you're good at what you do, it shouldn't matter if someone doesn't like you, unless you're just a hateful person. Shouldn't be. Business isn't personal.
I think that happens though in society nowadays. Do you not feel like, for example, like if you're Catholic and you're Protestant, that automatically there's some sort of disregard towards each other?
Oh, aye. Not as much anymore, but
I mean in general.
But you don't even have to be Catholic and Protestant. We fucking throwing Armagh, Derry and throwing. You know, just like people go, oh, I fucking, you know, instead of going, oh, he's a cheeky fucker, it's like, oh, he's a Tyrone fucker. You know, meaning, yeah, Tyrone's a derogatory term or there, you know. But people do, like, people are very judgmental of each other, and like they take people, I think it's, I don't know if it's a tribal thing, if it's an Irish thing or it's a British thing, people like to align themselves to a certain way. Like, it's like, and there, what day was it, the night before New Year's Eve, we were having a conversation, someone goes, what do you think of him? And I was like, no, I don't know, like, nothing, like, I don't have an opinion on him. And they were like, oh, but what do you think of him? I was like, but I don't have an opinion on him, because I don't. But they were like, oh, but you must think something. I'm like, oh, honestly, it's never crossed my mind anything about the fella in general. And I was like, oh, they were like, but then it just kind of dawned on me, like, everybody has to be aligned a certain way of thinking about someone or something. You know, there's certain things I don't have an opinion on whatsoever, and other things I would be really opinion on it because I kind of half care. But yeah, it's probably a different conversation. We've got another question.
Thank you. There was something I was going to say. And I think it's the. I'm trying to let that go through the back of my head there. I had something important on that, but it wasn't about the opinions. It was just prior to that. Continue with the second question. Maybe come back to me.
The second question was about things we want to see more of in 2024 and things we want to leave behind in 2023. That's from Jason. I think people should leave behind, well, kind of talked about it when Tony was away, caring what other people think. There's a lot of people that's been held back from doing stuff because they're afraid of what other people will think about. And I find that so fucking sad that you might miss, like, your calling or your job or something because you care what other people might think. And I just think that I want to see more of people with a sort of fuck it attitude and chasing a dream or chasing something. Like, I was actually watching a wee thing about Daniel earlier about going from pilot to like to coach. And like, I'm sure I've never talked to him about it, but I'm sure some people thought he was mental. But
yeah, absolutely.
No, look at the guy. I don't think he could be more. I don't think he could be more happy. And he stood by his decision. So I just think one thing I would love people to like do more of, and at the same time leave behind what they think of, caring about what other people think, especially caring about people that aren't in their lives directly, and doing things that they've been putting off and just get it done. No, we don't have an infinite amount of time. Just go after it. If you want to do it, do it. Don't let people, the opinions of people hold you back, or the fact that you think people may have, because you know what, people give a fuck less than you believe. You know, people, you know, people don't care what you wear, to be honest, as much as you care what you wear. You know, if there's a flamboyant thing you want to buy, or a mad shirt you want to wear, or a crazy pair of trainers, fucking rock them. Do you want to wear sunglasses indoors, go for it. Who cares? You know, just do you, and be more bold about it. That's what I would say. Good, and that's one of the things, one of the big things I want to see more of this year, for sure. What about you?
For me, in terms of things I want to see, the things I want to see less, you're sort of interlinked. Like, I think that is true. For me, it depends. You mean in general, or you mean with me?
I mean, in general, well, if there's something you yourself, but I mean in general, as in a world, as a community in general, that's where mine was coming from. But from me, it's probably the same, even though I don't really care what people think as much in general, but there is a few things I've put off doing, and I'm not putting them off any longer. It's getting done, and that's it.
I think there needs to be more, personally, I feel like there needs to be more time for the individual. I feel like a lot of people are living, but they aren't really there. I feel like there's not enough moments shared between people.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, people go out for coffees and the meat, and certain times they're good and certain times people are on their phone. I just feel like society's getting more and more warped.
People aren't living in the moment.
Like, I think in general, I just don't think people are appreciating what's going on around them, and time is slipping. So I just feel like there's a lot of, especially as I'm starting to approach 30 now, I think for me, it's one of these things where I'm really sort of like, and obviously, like, I'm 28, turning 29 in May. And it's one of these things where I look at it and I'm like, fuck, Joe, like, there's that society pressure of like, oh, Joe, you should have a partner, and Joe, people have kids in their 30s and so all this. And for me, I'm like, I'm very content with who I am and how things are, and if that adds up, it's great. But for me, it's one of them things where I feel like you can have all that and you can still be not really there. I feel like a lot of people are drifting without realizing it, and days are rolling into weeks, and weeks are rolling into months, and months are rolling into years, and before they know it, they're going to be what Joe Rogan calls it, that manic quiet desperation, you know, where you woke up in a life that you haven't really stretched for, you haven't really pushed for. So for me, it's one of the ones where I think there needs to be a few, not necessarily to shake up and chase this mad dream and all this money, but I just think this where, like, you enjoy your small moments and you're more present for it. And that's what I reflected on, and that's the reason why I cut the phone use, because I found it was probably the one thing that was holding me back most from doing that for myself. And then less of, in my opinion, is probably, it probably interlinks, that's the main thing that comes to the forefront of my mind. I think less choice of, I think the option of, like, less safety in terms of, like, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with playing it safe to an extent and playing it, like, comfy. I think too many people will be like, oh, you need to dream, push. I don't believe in that, but I just mean the idea of that, like, no matter what decision you make, there's no real right or wrong. I feel like a lot of people settle for like just average in relationships, or just settle for a woman, or settle for a man, because they don't admit it to themselves, but they feel like that's the best they can do rather than what they really want. And for me, that is the only wrong decision, is really not going after it, because like that's really it. And the only other thing in my life that I'm probably going to do more of this year is just, I just need to keep working on myself. I think over the last 12 months I've done as much personal development work as I fucking physically can, and I'm feeling it tenfold now since the middle of summer. And for me, I want to continue that path. I was very tempted, I was talking to you prior about dating, and I was getting onto apps and stuff. Not that I've sacked that, but I'm just sort of like, Joe, I feel like as an individual, you're only going to get a higher quality partner for anybody that's single the more you become a higher quality individual yourself. So I'm in no rush. And I think if anybody's my age that's looking at a partner or feeling pressure, I think especially females do, males might not. But I've definitely felt it over the last year. I think you do. I think you go in and out of that headspace. And I think the idea that, like, working on yourself to become better, not for that other person, but so that you attract what you are and you actually deserve that higher level partner, I think stuff like that as well puts you at ease then, rather than just like, oh, I'm not worrying about it, I'll be happy single. It's not about that. It's about, it will come down the line, but it's like, this is your time here to focus on you. So this year for me is going to be a lot about personal growth. I've got Wim Hof in February. I'm looking at a complete year of travel. And then the only other thing that I'm setting out is, I do think I'm going to have my first sort of base, or I'm either going to get an apartment in Dubai and buy it, or I'm going to get an apartment in Marbella. I'm going to get one or the other. I think I do want to travel to the States and Australia, but I do think I need a base. I think I need something like that to push my business and my personal development more. Do you know where you're not just renting?
Yeah, Yeah.
I think a base for 4 months of the year would be a very good place for me. Whether it's Spain or Dubai, I'm unsure. But that'll be my main goals.
Yeah. You said something there, Alanda, just I was trying to keep it in my head. The word appreciate. Do you think, and I don't mean to sound fucking like this sounds like you're talking down about the generation, whatever. Do you think people appreciate things less these days? Like everything, they appreciate everything less.
Yeah, like, we do because we have more.
Exactly. Do you think it's getting worse because the people that, like the as I call them, the young guns coming through now, they've always had more.
It's all relative. So yeah. The generation above us, like for example, like my mum's generation probably was never really appreciated the fact that, like, I've never appreciated the fact I actually have shoes to wear. My mum probably has never had, but my granddad probably did because I'd say his dad didn't have shoes. Like proper shoes. My family is very poor in that stage, but like, I'd say it's just relative. So it's not like my mum was where I'm the most ungrateful down the line. I just feel like it's all relative. It's like your perception. Like it sounds ridiculous, but like what you're ungrateful for is the same as somebody being ungrateful for something else in a different lifespan. I think our generation, if anything, actually gives itself more of a hard time because there's so much out there on it. Whereas I actually feel like a lot of people in the prior generations just weren't self-aware that they were ungrateful. But I don't actually believe that they necessarily were more grateful for everything. I do feel to an extent though, the less you have, the more grateful for you are for each individual thing, because you have such little things spike your dopamine or make you happy. Like if you're, you know, if you don't have much, it makes a big difference. Like it does. So I think that does weigh a toll on you too. So yeah, I would say our generation's probably a little bit less grateful than others, but it just depends on the individual.
It just clicked with my head. I was just thinking to myself, I had a conversation with someone the other day and he's a massive Oasis fan, and I said to him, "Oh, are you going to Noel Gallagher in Boucher in the summer?" And he goes, "No, lad, I wouldn't go to Boucher." And I'm like, "Are you not a fucking massive Oasis fan?" He goes, "Oh yeah, man." He goes, "Like Oasis is my favorite band," but he goes, "I'm not going to see him at Boucher." He goes, "I wouldn't go to that shithole." And I was just like, "Fuck!" You appreciate an old gallery because he's an icon of like a generation and Oasis, whatever. But it's like, it feels like we're with that spoiled for choice that we know we can just go somewhere else. And the person will go watch him in England, or he'll go watch him in London, or he'll go watch him somewhere else. But it just kind of goes like, we don't, like, there's so much happening in this country at the moment. And like so many good things happening, like gigs wise and events wise, and even there, like your band Peterson coming to Ireland, which he wouldn't have done years ago, and you have some of the biggest comedians in the world, biggest singers in the world, biggest concerts. It just seems like we're a wee bit spoiled for choice now, so we can just wait till the next time. And I'm the sort of person where I like appreciate all that stuff because I'm a wee bit older than Tony, so I remember when like Slane was the biggest concert in Ireland every summer, before Oxygen, before Witness, before AVA, before all that shit. There was just Slane. There was big concerts in Dublin and stuff, but there was just Slane. Slane was the big festival, and you just used to pray and wait to see who the headliner was, if it was someone that you liked for you to go to. Now you're just like, nah, I'll just jump on the plane and go to fucking Glasgow. I'm not one to say I booked tickets to see Coldplay in fucking Athens, but I appreciate that I can do that. I just when you said the word about appreciating, I was just like, it just reminded me of someone.
It's because it's all relative. Like for example, like I turn around and be like, fuck all this. Like I say it all the time, but it's reaffirming it to myself. Like I'd be like, right, I am grateful I get to travel, but fuck his flights to my banger. And but the thing is, like, other people would kill for that. Like I remember somebody in our flight, like I'll not say, but like somebody in our was like, fuck his travel kills you. And I was like, we're going to the Bahamas for Christmas. I go, shut the fuck up. I go, anybody would kill to sit there. I don't care if they
I would hang off the wing.
Exactly. So I goes, Joe, you can pick what you can complain about anything. That's why I'm very, very sensitive about it. If people just keep people, you have to if I don't like something, focus on the positives. And I feel like that's just something that's very, very reinforcement. And as I said before, that Mo Gatit's research, like 9 positives to 1 negative is what you need. If that's roughly neuroplasticity in your brain, the more you do something, that's why people be like, why gratitude lists, why this, why that. See, the more you change, and the more you rehearse, and the more you change these responses, these behaviors, these routines, and you force it and it causes friction, you can rewire the brain. Neuroplasticity, that's how you get rid of habits. That's how you pick habits up. That's why if you don't stop a habit, or you don't stop a habit and you pick up a brand new, this is why you pick up bad ones, or why whenever you don't actually develop your brain the way you want, or you work on yourself, you turn into a worse individual. Because if you're not working on yourself, you're actually naturally going to pick up shit. If you're not self-aware, you're not putting in that little bit of groundwork. That's what happens over time. So it's just taking all that into consideration. I feel like that's actually quite a, I would say the podcast has been more of like a, not a reflection, but I would say more like what's going to happen. I'm going to use that as accountability, that I'm going to keep that screen time really low for the entire year, which I feel will actually get quite difficult. I know a lot of people are like, oh no, it's loads. But like, trust me, look at your screen time today. Like anybody who's listening to me, it's usually like, I think the average screen time is something like 20% of the time a person's awake or something. It's fucking nuts, mate. It's hard.
I was going to look here, but of anxiety.
People won't share it. People will people will never tell you their screen time. It's like their deepest, darkest secret. If they do, it's like whenever you ask a woman or a man their numbers, they lie through their fucking teeth every single time.
Guess what number of podcast this is?
Oh, this has to be fucking 175.
199.
Jesus Christ.
200 and not in the next one after this. That is 3.8 years. Every week.
Mental.
That doesn't sound like 3.8 when in the middle of lockdown. When I checked it the last time, I was like, that can't be fucking right.
It shows you it'll be 4 years in 4 years from March we were in lockdown.
Yeah.
Time moves so fast, mate. Scary.
So sorry, this is 199, and then we'll for the 200th. We're going to see
the next 18 months. Will go like that. Next 18. See for me. I've got a good game plan until next January. I've got my year pretty much mapped out with travel and everything here, and I guarantee this year will go quicker than anything.
Deadly. On that note, guys, keep rating, reviewing, sharing. Thank you. We're in the charts again in Ireland. We're number 40 in Ireland again. So thank you very much for that.
Big love.
We do appreciate everything you do. And we're back on the Instagram. I just went back in. Got back in. So thank you so much. We missed all your tags and the stories. They must have been like your year in review on Spotify. But, you know, shout out to Paul thank Morgan, you. Jack. Cullen, you met him. Cullen,
he's a top GM. He's a lovely fella.
Fair play to these boys. I think that's what you were sharing. I know. Hopefully, that's what you were sharing. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much, and happy New Year, guys. And we'll catch you next time.
Big love.